Good morning, Arusha Community Church. I'm greeting you this morning from a suburb of Los Angeles where we are with my elderly parents during this unprecedented time. From here, I have a close-up view of the current tumultuous events in the United States, a season we pray will bring real and lasting change for good in our country and in the world. And against that backdrop and a global pandemic, I pondered this gospel message from Matthew 9 and into Matthew 10. In Matthew 9, we find that Jesus has been busy. In the first 34 verses, he's healed a paralytic, raised a dead girl, inadvertently healed a woman who bled for 12 years, restored sight to two blind men, delivered a man believed to be demon-possessed, which subsequently restored his ability to speak, and called Matthew to follow him. He's gained a huge following, and the Pharisees aren't happy. They say he's driving out demons by the power of the prince of demons. And I notice they don't have any negative words to say about the various healings he's been doing. He hasn't infuriated them by healing on the Sabbath, so what can they say? As we enter chapter 9 at verse 35, Jesus has been traveling throughout the region, preaching the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. Previously, Jesus had announced the good news of the kingdom when he stood up in the synagogue, listed in Luke 4:18, and read from the Hebrew scriptures. He read, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom to the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free." He was reading from Isaiah 61, which goes on to say, "To proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair." So the good news of the kingdom is full-service good news. It's about freedom and justice for the oppressed, healing for the sick, comfort for those who mourn, and favor in the place of subjugation. It's no wonder the Pharisees were looking to fault him. Though they themselves were also living in subjugation to Roman rule, oppressed and held down along with their people group, they were not about to give up the power that they possessed within the pecking order of the system. Jesus' power and popularity threatened them. But unlike the Pharisees, Jesus is moved by the plight of the people. He looks over the crowds and he feels compassion for them, helpless and shepherdless as they are. From this place of compassion, he instructs his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest to send workers into the harvest field." He's saying the need is so great, there are so few people responding to it. And he instructs them to ask or pray to God to send more workers into the places of need. There's a harvest of faith, a harvest of justice, a harvest of healing ready to be brought in. The next 23 verses of our reading show Jesus commissioning the disciples to go out and harvest, bringing in the kingdom of God wherever they go. Jesus instructs them to preach the good news of freedom, favor, comfort, provision, healing, joy, and praise instead of despair. He's sending the disciples out to do the work of the kingdom. But as I read this passage, my attention fell on the word ask. Ask the Lord of the harvest. Asking, also known as petition, is one of the ways that we pray. We also give thanks, we offer praise, we invite the Spirit to speak to us, we listen quietly, we allow ourselves to be changed by God's presence, etc. But Jesus' first response as he observed the needs of the oppressed masses was compassion, followed quickly by telling his followers to ask God to move. Send help, send workers. This feels particularly relevant to me as I consider the circumstances of our global season. We watch the news and literally we're seeing masses in the streets here and around the world, all on behalf of oppressed populations. But many of us are practicing some degree of staying at home, or mostly at home. For some of us, it's because we have vulnerable people in our households that require us to be more cautious with where we're involved outside. For others, we have our own health issues that limit us, but we're still called to be involved, and this asking is our first response. All of us can spend more time petitioning God on behalf of the oppressed. Prayer, in some mysterious way that I don't understand, changes things. And so we pray. We pray for change, for leaders to listen and respond wisely, for breakthrough to happen, for protesters to be safe, for the hard-hearted to be softened, for humility, forgiveness, healing, and as Isaiah says, for justice to roll down like a river, righteousness like a never-failing stream. And so our first response is to ask God to move on behalf of the oppressed. Pray this continuously. Don't let up. God hears. And secondly, as followers of Jesus, we're commissioned anew to go and do the work of the kingdom. We're called to do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with our God. We're instructed to care for the least of these, to speak up for the oppressed, and to love our neighbors as ourselves. And there isn't just one way to do this. Each of us must respond in our unique circumstances with our unique gifts and our unique personalities and in the way that we sense that God is leading us to respond. The key is that we do respond. God will direct each one of us as we open ourselves to being led. Therefore, may we be sensitive to divine leading, and may we follow this compassionate Jesus with great courage.